Amen, amen. How many are glad to be here? How many are looking forward to Christmas? If you are, say yes. 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 Come on. Got to be more enthusiastic than that about Christmas, right? I mean, what's the greatest gift God has ever given us? Yeah. What's his name? Jesus. It's the reason for the Christmas. Amen? So, yeah, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Jesus. And I got a special message entitled for you. We've had a series this month at City Light Church. It was called Loved. It's all about, you know, being loved by God, understanding what the love of God. And it's all wrapped in that one person, Jesus Christ. So we're going to talk about him. And we're going to talk about, you know, love, and love that actually came down. And we're going to use a term, this term called invasion. So bow your heads, close your eyes. I want to pray for the word of God this morning. Father, tonight. Father, I thank you for the word. Your word brings light. Your word can bring life. You are the living word. And I pray that this word would shine brightly in our hearts as we take it into our minds, that it illuminate our hearts, bring understanding that it truly sets us to be free to be the people called to be children of God, family of God, people loved by God. So, Holy Spirit, will you come? And will you just invade this place with your life, with your truth? Lord, help every word to be deeply embedded in our heart tonight. In Jesus' holy name, thank you for giving me the power to preach it and all the ears to hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to talk about, you know, one of my favorite ways to talk about the Christmas story is to use this metaphor of an invasion. You know, I've preached about an invasion before, and I want to talk about this Christmas story, which is really the greatest story ever told, isn't it? The greatest story ever told. And one of the best ways, like I said, to describe Christmas is to describe it as an invasion. And I say that it was an invasion of God's love. It was God's coming down because he loved us. So, but in fact, Christmas is about the greatest invasion, not just an invasion. It's the greatest invasion the world has ever seen. So the stage was set, and it was finally the fullness of time. And the world had long been in this prison, caught up in a web of sin and death, and controlled by a network of powers and forces that were hostile to God and hostile to God's people. And God Almighty, King of the universe, was about to come down and invade this earth. And he was about to come and conquer our three greatest enemies, which is sin, death, and the devil himself. And so, what a moment in time. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 10. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide." Does that mean you? Absolutely. Now, I want you to think about this invasion. Now, when you think about this invasion, God is coming to invade the world. Now, you would think that, you know, there would be all kinds of signs, wonders, and miracles. And you would think that literally the whole sky, you know, right from one end to the other, to as far as the eye could see, would totally be lit up with the brightness of God's glory. And that every single human being, that all of humankind would understand that God had landed, right? You would think that. And you would think that the whole world would actually rock with the impact of his landing. You'd think that, wouldn't you? Because after all, you think of all the other invasions that have happened on earth. You know, think about some of the great conquerors like Alexander the Great or Genghis Khan. You read that in history books. Or Napoleon Bonaparte. Or in the Bible, like Cyrus the Great. And there are so many invasions by people, right? So think about how we, of humankind, of way less power and way less greatness, would invade enemy-occupied land. So, if you require if you recall some of the greatest wars in history, there's one outstanding war that it should immediately come to mind. You know what it comes to my mind? It's this picture right here. It's called D-Day. D-Day, June the 4th, 1944, when early in the morning, the greatest army the world had ever amassed showed up and landed on the shores of Normandy, France. And logistical reports tell us that in that invasion were 6,900 ships, 6,900 ships, 4,100 landing crafts, 12,000 airplanes carrying over 200 soldiers came upon that captive continent. It was a massive invasion. It included more than that. Behind them were these rumbling tanks, these bombers, strafing bombers, swiftly moving armies marked that D-Day. Chuck Colson wrote a book called The Faith, and he has a chapter in it entitled The Invasion. And he said in that chapter, the invasion of Normandy was so massive, and many, many lives, over 200 lives were lost. They paid the price. But it was so massive, and it ended up being so successful that it allowed the Allies to turn every counterattack into another victory. And Colson writes, as if preordained, the outcome was clear. The evils of Hitler and fascism would be conquered. D-Day was the greatest invasion by mankind in the history of this earth. Right? Would you agree with that? Now, here's what I want you to do. Now, I want you to think of God. And I want you to think of His invasion on earth. This is God Almighty. This is God, creator of heaven and earth, sustainer of all, you know, all the universe, the one by whom, for whom, through whom all things were made. And He was about to invade our world. So much more powerful than any human army or could ever put together or will ever put together. He's the one who literally holds the delicate balance of matter and universe in His hands. And He's the one with just one simple word could destroy the earth with greater nuclear power than all the nuclear powers of the nations combined. This is who was coming to invade the earth. And so He invaded the earth. He invaded the earth. But what do you see and what do you hear? You know, the only sound you hear is the gentle breathing of a baby sleeping in his mother's arms. Isn't that amazing? That's all you hear. So this is how God invaded the planet. But He did so as a baby, just as a little baby, not with massive logistical power and huge armies, but rather in a way that literally confounded and perplexed all the wisdom of humanity. You know, and it was literally a quiet, sleepy invasion over a little town of Bethlehem. How still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The starlin, silent stars roll by. Nobody's going to give me applause for that, are you? You know? But isn't that true? That's the wonder. See, that's the wonder of Christmas. This is where Almighty God came and when He landed on earth. And few people, you know, at that time understood what was happening. People living in Palestine at the time of Christ's birth were actually expecting a messianic invasion, much like D-Day. You know, they were expecting conquerors wearing armor, carrying a sword to free them from their oppression. But that's not how He came, is it? So the question is, and if you really ponder this, you've got to realize how incredibly wonderful an event this was on Earth's history. So the question is, will we ever fully comprehend, ever plumb the depths and the wonders of this event? And many people throughout history have tried to express this wonder. In the words of Martin Luther, he whom the world could not enwrap, yonder, he whom the world could not enwrap, yonder lies in Mary's lap. Charles Wesley of the 18th century said, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with us to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Chronicles of Narnia, said, in our world, too, a stable once held something in it bigger than the whole world. And I love the words of the musicians Geddy and Townsend of Ireland when they wrote these words. Hands that set each star in place, hands that shaped the earth in darkness, now cling to mother's breast, vulnerable and helpless. Wow. See, we need to understand. Here's history's turning point. Here is the greatest event in all history. And the only sign we have of it is a baby lying in a manger. Isn't that amazing? Luke chapter 2, verse 11. The angel said, for today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in the manger. Wow. The single most important question that Christian theology can ask then is this question. And it's on your PowerPoint. Who was that baby in the manger? Who was? And the answer is unequivocally, creator of the universe. The baby born at Bethlehem was God himself. Philippians 2 verse 6, Paul said, for he who had always been with God by nature, he who had always been God by nature, did not consider equality with God something to take advantage of, but stripped himself of every advantage by consenting to be a slave by nature and being born as a man. So here's what really happened. The one who made the world stepped into the world in person. And literally, the one who created the world became a creature, a real, live human being. And on your PowerPoint, so to put it very simply, God became a man. God became a man. I said, you know, wrap your mind around that. God became a man. The living God has become one of us. And you know, it's so easy to just miss that, you know, what would really happen beneath all the celebration of Christmas. But when I really ponder and I meditate on the Christmas story and what happened, what God did in order to get here to earth to meet with us, all I can say is it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. You know, I can believe that there is a living God. I can believe that this living God created the universe out of nothing. I can believe that this living God did all kinds of miraculous acts like the parting of the Red Sea. You know, I can wrap my mind around all of that. But this, what the living God did on Christmas Eve, literally, the Creator became a creature. Amen? God became a man. So the question is this. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? You know what the answer is? You know what the answer is. Because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish, but have eternal life. And the other question you need to ask in conjunction with that question is, why did God invade the earth in the way that he did? Why did he do it the way that he did it? Couldn't he have done it some other way that was more proper for him? Here's why. I want to give you three outstanding reasons that really affect you personally. Here's the first one. Number one, he did it the way he did because we need a Savior to identify with us. We need a Savior who identifies with our human predicament totally. God came to earth and he wrapped himself in a human body. Someone said God literally put on an earth suit. Why? So that we can know who God was. Luke chapter 1, verse 23 says, this happened so that what the Lord spoke through his prophet would come true. Listen, a virgin will be pregnant and she will give birth to a son, and he will be known as Emmanuel, which in Hebrew means God became one of us. Not just not only God with us, but God became one of us. So God came to earth through the human birth canal. And he started out as this tiny human embryo. Why did he do that? Because he wanted to be with to be with us, and he wanted to be one of us. Why did he want to be one of us? Here's why. So that he could relate to the way we go through this life, to the frustrations and the disappointments that we have in life, so that he could understand what it felt like to be disappointed or to struggle with grief and sorrow, so he could also experience joy and happiness and friendships and laughter. In other words, to be human. That's why he came. And excuse me, and not to sympathize with us, but to empathize with us, right? And empathize with us even when we're going through the darkest valley of our life. And that's what King David said in Psalm 23, verse 4. He said, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Why? Because for you are with me, God with us. You know, there's no better time than Christmas time to realize that God is with us in the valleys. Amen? See, this is what we need to know about our relationship with God. We need to understand that we have a God who understands how we feel. He can identify with our hurt, our pain, with our joys, our sorrow, and even the death of a loved one. God can identify. You know, and I think it's part of the reason why God invaded the world in the way he did. Because we don't want just someone to just sympathize with us, right? To look down on us and to feel sorry for us. We want a God who can empathize with us. And Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with us, our weaknesses. God knows exactly what we're going through. And I say, that's why you got to read your Bible. When you read your Bibles, and when you really pay attention to those stories, you realize that this child, Mary's child, this man from Galilee who ate with people and talked with people and played with people, this man was nothing less. He was nothing less than the God who created the universe, the maker of the universe. And he was, if you study the Gospels, you know, he's the man that laughed so hard that the religious establishment were convinced that he was drunk. He was the man who wept so deeply at the graveside of his friend. And he was the man that got so tired and thirsty that he actually had to ask a Samaritan woman for a drink of water. See, this is Jesus. This is the God who sympathizes with us in our pains and our weaknesses. On your PowerPoint, the coming of Christ gave us a living picture of who God is. Colossians 1:15 says he is the image of the living God. He's the image of the living God. So he showed us what God was like. He was a friend of sinners. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. This is who God is. So, and the second reason why he came the way he did was this. We need a Savior who can break the power of sin and death. You know, right now we look at what's happening in our world and we see so much darkness and we see so much immorality and we can see the intensity of immorality and darkness and evil and sin just increase all the time. Can't you? We can see it in our world. But you know, I want to tell you, the days of the devil are coming to an end. You know, his days are numbered. Colossians 2:15 says that having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. See, it was by the cross, on through the cross, that Jesus literally crushed the powers of the network of sin, death, and Satan. And he did it for us. So how did he do that? Here's how he did it. He took upon himself the sins of mankind. And how did he do that? By becoming this perfect sacrifice to pay for our sins. He literally became the unblemished, perfect Lamb of God. Amen? How many of you are thankful for that? Yeah. How many are thankful for that? You know, who were the first people that that recognized on that hillside in Bethlehem. Who were the first people? Does anybody know who it was? Shepherds, right. It was shepherds. No wonder the shepherds. I say, no wonder the angels first appeared to the shepherds. There's a story about these shepherds. The Christmas story says that there were shepherds on the hillside and they were looking after their flocks. But these, if you study the story behind that, scholars will tell you that these were not just ordinary shepherds. These were called priestly shepherds. And they were not looking after an ordinary flock. These were actually sheep, specially selected ewes, who were ready to give birth to the Passover lambs. Every year, they would, you know, at Christmas time, it was that time when they would celebrate the Passover, and they would sacrifice these lambs. And as these lambs were born, these shepherds would take these lambs, and they would wrap them up in cloth, and they would put them in a manger, and soften the sides of the manger with hay. And they did that so that the Passover lambs would not be injured in any way. They wouldn't injure themselves because the Passover lambs had to be without blemish, no broken bones. So that's what happened. So on the hillside, the miracle sign to these priestly shepherds was this baby boy lying in a manger, wrapped in cloth, surrounded by hay, in the place where the Passover lamb was supposed to be. And immediately, they were blown away. They knew exactly what the sign meant. And they said to each other, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the people." Wow. It was at the cradle of Jesus Christ that the kingdom of God arrived. He broke the power of sin and he broke the power of death. Amen? We needed a Savior to absorb the sting of death. Hebrews chapter 4, chapter 2, verse 14 says, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." And that's the world's number one fear. Fear of dying and fear of others, like loved ones dying as well. And Jesus entered this world to absorb the sting of death. 1 Corinthians 15:54 says, "When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" Death is a great consequence of sin. The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I love the words of Dr. Peter Joshua. He said, "When death stung Jesus Christ, it stung itself to death." Praise God. Praise God. You guys are really way too quiet. You should be jumping up and down celebrating. Amen. And I say, because of what Jesus did, death for us as believers in Christ, death for us as Christians, is no longer something that we should fear. Because death for us as Christians now becomes the portal, the doorway into eternal life, to be with God forever. Amen? I want to ask you, isn't that the goal of your salvation? Isn't that your final destination where you want to go? You think about stories in the Bible, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the book of Daniel. All three guys were sent into a certain death in a roaring furnace. And their attitude, they were dancing around. They were dancing around because they thought, well, if we go, if God doesn't rescue us, death is just a doorway into eternal life. They understood. One more. I want to give you one more. There's a third reason why God did it this way. We needed a Savior who guarantees the final victory. We needed a Savior who guarantees the final victory. Someday, there's going to be another invasion. And this time, it will not be a quiet one. Jesus Christ is coming back to invade this world. And he'll come back with full power, full glory, and with universal recognition. everybody will know that he's come. Revelation chapter 11, 15 says, the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. In the meantime, you and I, we can live with completely confidence that God has won the final victory, that he has established his sovereignty, and he has inaugurated his kingdom. Amen? You know, the first time, he came like this. He came as a lamb. But listen, when he's coming back, he's going to look more like this. Amen? Come on, let's go. Yeah. Amen. You know, all of this is really for one great grand purpose. And it's on your PowerPoint. The Christmas gives each and every one of us the hope of heaven. You know, when Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, I have come to give you life, and that abundantly. Do you remember that scripture? Life to the full. See, he wasn't just talking about the hope of this life right now on earth, but he was referring to the hope of heaven, the gift of eternal life, to be with God forever. 1 Corinthians 15, 19 says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. You know, you think of what the world would be like if there was no hope of heaven. What would that be like? You know, what would we say at a funeral, at a death of a loved one? You know, what would we say if Jesus had not come? Right? No, there would be no hope, right? There'd be no hope of resurrection, no hope of eternal life. There'd be no hope if Jesus had not come. You know, no hope of when you get there, you're going to hear these words, well done, good and faithful servant of God. There'd be nothing to anticipate except the closing of a casket and the coldness of the grave. But because of what Jesus did, all that changed, didn't it? All that changed. Christmas means that Christ has given us the gift of heaven. And at this point in time, you know, the package is still wrapped, but there's a package with your name on it. Aren't you excited about that? Yeah. Thank you, Father. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 says, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Because of what Jesus did on your PowerPoint, because of what Jesus did, he invaded our world. Number one, we can know what God is like. Number two, we can experience the forgiveness of sins. And number three, we can have the hope of a better life right here on earth, an eternal life, and a heavenly home. What better gifts could God have ever given us? Amen? The greatest gift that God could ever give us is Jesus. Would you agree with that? Okay. All right. Now, I'm done, but I'm going to challenge you. So, how do you respond? How are you going to respond to the Christmas story today? So, on your PowerPoint, first thing I think, the way that we need to respond is with an attitude of awe and wonder leading to adoration and praise. I say, don't let the mystery and the wonder of what happened that Christmas Eve just pass you by. Don't do that. No, take the time to think what had happened and think about the personal implications that it has in your life. And then I say, go out of your way, just like the wise men and the shepherds, to go and praise, worship, and adore him. Amen? And we've got to remember, this is the single most important history event in all history. Even the most powerful men and women, the greatest leaders in this world, are one day going to have to bow their knee to the one who laid in that manger. Amen? Here's the second response. The second one is a deep gratitude and joy leading to a fresh opening of your life to Jesus Christ. A new open surrender to his lordship. Amen? I say allow him this Christmas to invade your heart with love, joy, peace, and his purpose. You know, and in the midst of whatever your crisis you may be going through or may go through in the future, allow Him to invade Him, invade your heart with His sense of peace, presence, joy. Amen? You know, allow Him to be Lord of your life. Tonight, you know, just if you've never done that before, receive His life. Receive His love. You know, open up your heart. Surrender your heart to Jesus. I say live full. You know, as believers, I believe that we can live full to the fullness of Jesus Christ. You know, and we can become all God created us to be. Amen? Okay, let's shout amen to God. Amen, amen. Bow your heads. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, I believe that you want every person in this room to know you personally and to receive this precious gift called eternal life. Father, I believe that we don't even know what life is like until we receive you into our hearts. So if you're here tonight, if you're watching tonight, and you've never invited Christ into your heart to be Lord and Savior of your life, you have the greatest opportunity to do that right now. You know, and the best thing you could do is respond to Jesus Christ. Open up your heart, you know, and just willingly give your life over to Him. Allow Him to be Lord and Savior of your life. And if you're ready to do that, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And just pray these words after me. It's just a simple prayer, but you say this prayer, and I guarantee it'll change your life forever. It'll change you, and it'll change your life. So repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I believe that you died, and you shed your blood on the cross to pay for my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and to be Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Amen. Now, if you said that prayer for the very first time, let's just bow our heads just for a second. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Now, if you said that prayer for the first time, you've invited Christ in to your heart, will you just raise your hands and just wave it so I can see it? And if you said that prayer and you're watching online, will you even call that number at the bottom of the screen? Will you let us know that you said that prayer? And if you said that prayer, will you go right after the service is over? You can go to the back of the room. It's called the welcome lounge. There's a lamp over there. And we want to tell you what your next step of faith in your incredible relationship with God will be. Amen?